I'm delighted to be joined in the studio once again by Shane Murphy, local psychotherapist with Yarl Cancer House. Good afternoon, Shane. How are you?
I'm great, Harry. Can yourself?
Very good, thank you. Very good. Enjoying the weather?
Yeah. It's good, yeah. I was just saying to you off air that I moved down to Yarl last week, and since I moved down, seem to have nothing but good weather, so that's a good vibe anyway.
Yeah. So, touch wood, stay like that for another few weeks anyway, at least.
Yeah.
We're going to talk a little bit about relationships this week, yeah?
Well, yeah, I suppose I'm actually, in my own private therapy, I'm noticing a lot of couples coming in, and I think with this whole lockdown, this pandemic, people working from home, there's an awful lot of strained couples and stuff like that. And I was reading an article over the weekend that it's 1 in 5 couples are either breaking up or in trouble because of COVID in Ireland. Mm. Being in a relationship is fun, but it's obviously there are hard parts as well, you know. And when you're both working from home, or you're, you know, one is working from home and one is looking after the children, you know, you're adding to the actual stress and the pressure. You know, we're not designed to be on top of each other all the time. We're supposed to have, you know, as one couple said to me, you know, his downtime was when he'd get into the car and he'd drive to work, you know, take him half an hour to get to work, then he's gone for the day. And then, you know, and vice versa as well, her downtime was to do the same. Like, so that's all gone from us at the moment. So there's an awful lot of relationships that are really struggling. They're really under the pressure. And, you know, I have couples who say to me like that, you know, they haven't spoken to each other in 2-3 weeks, like inside in the same house, you know. And then they're saying, you know, but the children don't see it. And I'm going, oh, okay. I think the children do see it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, I mean, we're adding an awful lot of extra pressure. It's not just on the family, it's a strain on the children as well, like, because children pick up on so much more than we actually are aware of. You know, the amount of couples that would say to me, they don't know, they don't hear anything, but they do, they pick up. And I mean, children are very sensitive to emotions and feelings, you know. And even though we might feel that we're not actually saying something, that we're actually protecting them by not actually not saying anything in front of them, they pick up on these things.
But even body language and that as well. I mean, like, that seems to be instinctive for a lot of us, and especially as a child, I would imagine, to read the body language of a parent or an adult. And, you know, if something's not quite right there, I mean, it's easy enough to pick up on something like that.
I remember I had a couple, this is pre-COVID, and, you know, they were saying to me like that, you know, the children didn't know anything about their own fights and all that. And then when they eventually broke up and they went their separate ways, like, the one of the children who was 14, 15 at the time and who was only 6 or 7 said, "Geez, ma'am, I remember. I knew that you were arguing. I knew that you were having problems," you know. And, you know, we think that we protect them, you know. We have our arguments when they're gone to bed at night time and things. But as you said, like, I mean, body language, anybody, like, I mean, you know, it's the same as when you're in a couple, like, you know, even though you might say to your spouse or someone, you might actually say to them, you know, "Is everything okay?" And they go, yeah, it's grand. But you can see by the way they're holding themselves that they're not grand. You know, I suppose that's the key thing to talk about with couples is communication. And, you know, as I just said there, like, I mean, every part of your body talks, you know, without you actually talking. So you know when your partner or someone is in bad form. Mm-hmm. You know when you're saying something and they don't believe you and stuff like that, because your body language is actually saying the completely opposite to what it is. So I suppose communication is the number one thing as far as couples is concerned.
Yeah, and like everything else, really, I mean, if you're trying to shut out or block, or, you know, shut out that problem or block it out or try to protect the other partner to, you know, not to get him involved in your problems, really, you're only hitting a wall there, really. You're kind of probably compounding the problem more than anything else.
Well, yeah, that's it. Like, and I suppose around communication, the other key one is assuming. You're assuming that sometimes we all get caught onto, really, regardless if you're in a relationship. Anyone, you know, you just assume that they're okay, or you assume that you know what they're thinking, or you assume, like, I mean, assumption, we know what that makes like.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, and, you know, it's probably one of the biggest failings is that we assume we know what the partner, and then when you're assuming you know what the partner is thinking or what's going on for them, and they're not thinking or feeling that way, sometimes it can get too far, especially when you're not communicating. It can get too far where you're assuming that they're okay, but they're not okay, and you don't talk to them. And next thing you know, a couple of weeks have gone, and next thing you know, someone turns around. And I've seen this in relationships where they turn around and they actually say, "Do you know, I actually don't think it's working out. I actually think that, you know, the relationship's gone." And you're like, "Jesus, you know, you never told me. How am I supposed to know?" Like, I mean, you know.
And is that, Shane, I mean, you see, I come from a little, I suppose, a different generation that worked out all these things, and kind of, you know, like every marriage, goes through the ups and downs, their problems, that you know, and you talk to them, you fight through them, you work them out. But a lot of that seems to be gone, you know, that working stuff out and you know, solving your problems and your differences and all that, you know, how many people there, how many kids going to school there with coming from separated parents and all that kind of, it seems to be an awful lot more.
Well, I suppose it's got easier, you know, now, you know, I mean, divorce is only 2 years, you know, there was a stage where it wasn't divorce.
But are people not fighting for to protect what they have, or you know, are they what way would I put it, you know, they don't seem to be holding on
is
to those.
Is it the easy option? Is that
yeah, is
saying,
it the easy you know? Option? Yeah.
No, I mean, I suppose what I see, like, I mean, look, if couples are coming to couples therapy, they want to fight for it. If they actually physically come to me, I think it proves that they actually really do want to fight for the relationship and want to fight for the marriage. You know, I suppose, you know, I think that the choice of divorce, the choice of being able to get out is very important, because we're all human beings, you know, and some people meet, you know, a partner when they're young and they're in their 20s, and we all grow and change. You know, I know that the person who I am now at 50 to who I was at 20 is a completely different person.
Yeah.
And if it's great in a relationship when you're both changing and evolving in the same direction or close enough to the same direction, but when you both go off into different tangents, you know, I mean, at 20 years of age, I was working in the hotel trade. Here I am as a psychotherapist. You know, if I met somebody when I was 20, she would have married someone working in the hotel trade, and now I'm a psychotherapist. You know, these things change, we evolve, and it's great to be able to have that choice now. But I mean, in general, like, I mean, I definitely think that, you know, open lines of communication with each other, talking to each other, telling each other, you know, sometimes we take for granted that I told them I love them, but we take it for granted they actually know, you know, telling someone you love them, you know, is so important, and it's so
it is,
and like I say, I can see more and more of it, that the tensions inside the house when they're working together, when the children are screaming and you haven't got out of the house and you're stuck indoors and you start screaming at each other, and you know, you're taking it out on the wrong person, whereas you should actually be, you know, getting into in a caring way. And I mean, now, when you're living with each other 24/7 like it is at the moment, you do forget about the loving part. You do forget about, you know, we have restaurants opening up and outdoors at the moment and bars, but previous to that, you were just eating at home. You lost track of the romantic moment of where you were sitting down and actually having a meal together, because everybody was just having all the meals together.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
you know, you lost out. And like, I mean, another key thing that I would say to couples counselling would be to make space in a week, say on a Sunday evening or something like that, and you sit down and you talk about anything that came up for you during the week. Any small little niggly bits and pieces that you actually found uncomfortable, or you that didn't make you happy, or you said a wrong thing, or I said a wrong thing, or whatever that. So, like, just having a session that you're literally, you don't judge, you don't hold anything against someone, or you don't, like, when they say something to you, like, you know, the other day, like, I mean, when you were taking the milk out, like, I mean, you shouldn't have taken it out that way, or something like that, or you should know at this stage that I take 3 sugars, not 2 sugars, and things like that. Like, I mean, they sound like small things, but what happens inside in a relationship is you say something small and they go, oh, I won't bother saying anything that to them. No, it's only small. I won't worry about it. And then it happens again. It starts annoying you. And it happens another 10 times within the 1 week, and it really annoys you. And at that stage, you're going, oh, it's too late to say something.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, I think an awful lot of problems with couples can be ironed out quite easily with communication and honesty. Having honesty in the relationship is so important. It's not just honesty around words, feelings and emotions. You know, you see a lot of people when they get first into relationships and stuff like that, and, you know, someone says something and it actually hurts them. And one of the things I always say to anyone really getting into a relationship is, if you don't tell them what's going on for you, how are they going to know, and how are they going to fix it? Because 9 times out of 10, when something is annoying you or about another person or something like that, and there might be something like, oh, I don't know, that you might make a clicking sound or something like that after you say something, you might say, or something like that, and it's an easy fix. And for how many relationships I've come into, and they've been together for like 10 years, and they I say to them, all right, so what's going on? And go, do you know what, he keeps on doing this ticking sound, and he turns around and he goes, I can fix that, no problem. Sorry, I didn't know that this was actually a problem. If you told me this 10 years ago, we could have actually sorted out there and then. But we assume that the other person knows what we're thinking, or we think that it's too small of something to actually share and actually say to someone, oh, this annoys me. Because, you know, when you're coming together as a couple, you know, you're both coming from two different worlds. You're coming from two different mindsets. And when you go into a couple, yes, it's all love at the start, and you know it's the fun and it's the joy and everything at the start. But you know, once all that's kind of gone, it's the getting together, it's getting to like each other, it's getting to know if you get on with the same person, if you have the same things in common and stuff like that. But it's just definitely the honesty, actually saying to somebody, you know, oh, that kind of annoys me when you do that or something like that. And more often than not, it's an easy fix. Mm. And like I said to you, how many times I've had couples where they've literally 10 years down the line and said something, and he or she has turned around and said, is that it? I could have fixed that, no problem, yeah. Like that, like, you know?
Yeah, and I suppose, to, as well as, right, especially couples with kids, you know, they might be a couple of years old, and, you know, having been there myself, it is a difficult time. And I think it's very important to try and remain a couple, because at the end of the day, you're going to end up a couple when they're gone as well. Like, you know, you have these kids for 20 odd years, whatever like that. They're going to move on with their own lives and you're going to be with each other. So it is very important that you still remain a couple through that.
Or that you become a stronger couple coming out the other end of it, that you've actually survived children. You know, and that you've come out the other side of it and you're actually probably a stronger couple, like, because you realise that you're actually strong, because you know yourself when you have children, you know, you need to work together, you know, it's the days of good cop, bad cop are gone, you know, it's all about working together and everybody's singing off the same hymn sheet. And, you know, as I said, the good cop, bad cop philosophy of parenting is really gone. It's really about communication, it's really about working well together. It's really about, you know, if you, a stern word has to be said, that you back each other up. You know, all those things are so important when you're raising children. And you know we're talking about communication again with couples, we're the same with the children. You know, I mean, as I say, children pick up on an awful lot more. So, you know, if something's going on or you're having a disagreement or something, you know just tell the child, which is mammy and daddy are just having a little bit of a fight at the moment, where, you know, we've sorted it out. And telling your children that as well, you know, it shows them that communication is so important. It shows them honesty
that's a
is
good
so
point,
important.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we forget as couples that we are actually, you know, this is what our children would want to see in a couple when they grow up. When they go up into adulthood and they meet somebody else, they want to be able to say, I want to be like mammy and daddy as a couple. Mm. So if we are going to be, you know, the standard that our children set a couple to be, we want to make sure that, you know, we show them, you know, the best possible way that a couple can be. And even to show as well that couples can't be perfect, aren't perfect all the time, that they can actually fall apart and fix themselves. You know, as you said, they're talking about the different relationships, fighting for a relationship. You know, children don't learn just from the nice stuff that happens within a relationship. Mm. They learn from the bad stuff as well.
And like any relationship like that, it does take a lot of work. I mean, it's not a given that it's going to work out lovely, because it's not. You know, just something like we've been saying all through our series of this, you know, you have to work on all these things, like your mental health, your physical health, and your relationship health, I suppose, if I'm to put it
that
way.
Well, that's it. Like, I mean, you know, as you just said there, like, I mean, you know, you've two personalities coming together. Like, I mean, that's always going to be a struggle. And, you know, I suppose during COVID, people have really seen the other person's personality, that they don't really realise. You know, when you think about it, you go to work, you're gone for 8 to 10 hours in a day or something like that. You know, bar at the start, you know, we're together a lot. But, you know, when you have children and you're working and you're back on the 9 to 5, Monday to Friday type of job, people don't really see the other person. They don't, and then suddenly they kind of look at their personality and go, geez, I don't particularly like this person at the moment, you know.
Yeah.
And that might only just be down to the stress, because, you know, you can have, you know, whoever normally is the person who goes out to work, you know, they might get stressed inside and work, like, you know, but they don't see when they get stressed inside and work. They might get angry inside and work, but they don't see when they get angry inside and work, because by the time they come home, they've got their anger out and work, so they're grand.
Yeah.
But you're inside and they're upstairs on the computer and you can hear them shouting and roaring at the computer or at the person on the phone. You've never seen that in your partner before.
Yeah.
You've never seen that personality in a partner before. So it's an awful lot of it's coming up. It's kind of new. You're kind of going, "Geez, John, I heard you shouting and roaring upstairs on the phone. I've never seen you like that. I've never seen you angry like that. What was going on?" And he goes, "Well, it's just part of my job." And the person might say, "Oh, well, you know, I've never seen that. You know, I mean, you're an angry man. I never knew you were an angry man. I don't particularly like you as an angry man."
Yeah.
But, you know, we have to put on a different personality. We have to put on a different type of person when we're inside and work. Otherwise, it might not work for us, you know what I mean? So we have to put on a role when we go into work. But if the other person's not seen that role in them before, it can become a bit of a shock to them.
Yes,
you know?
I know what you mean, yeah. But look, I suppose, you know, like everything, as I say, we're working. I suppose it's also important as a couple to have your own time.
Completely. And that's what I mean by, you know, saying there, when people are driving to work, they have their hour that they listen to the music, when they're whatever their own type of music. They have that downtime, and that might have been their only time that they could carve out their downtime in their life.
Yeah.
So when they're suddenly working from home, they don't have any downtime. The amount of couples that have said to me, oh, you know, I've said to them, you know, if you can carve out an hour and a half to come to therapy for me, I'm sure you can carve out an hour each. You know, that's why I recommend that they find time every day to go for a run or go for a walk, yeah. And one person look after, because your time, because you're still two different personalities coming into it, and you're an individual person within the relationship regardless. So you need your downtime, you need your time away from each other. And we're so caught up at the moment, when so many people are working from home, they're so caught up in the burden, and that they're feeling guilty that they shouldn't go out for, you know, I've been upstairs on the computer all day, but I feel guilty because, you know, my wife is downstairs or something like that looking after the kids, and, you know, they feel that they're burdening them by actually saying, do you mind if I pop out for an hour, even though they feel that they've been away, even though they've only been upstairs. Mm-hmm. So yeah, you're dead right. Carving time out for you is really, really important within a relationship, because you are an individual person. You need your downtime. You need your time to go for a walk by the beach. You need your downtime to do whatever, you know. And another thing that pre-COVID, you know, they used to always have their time that they used to go for a pint or something like that, or someone would go for a drink. That's because that is actually gone. The amount of people that are suddenly kind of going, how did I make space for that before? And they're not able to make the space that the things are open, and they're literally feeling guilty for what they did for God knows how long, where they went out with the girls went out with the women on a Saturday night, and the men went out with the men on a Friday night or something like that. And they had that time. Whereas now at the moment, when they're actually saying, I'd like to go for a pint, they're feeling guilty, and they feel like they're going, oh, I shouldn't be doing this. So it's just, you know, we're trying to get back to some bit of normality at the moment. You know, the bars are open again in Youghal for outdoor dining and stuff like that, or outdoor eating and stuff like that. And, you know, there's a bit of a buzz around. But I mean, you know, trying to get back into the old patterns is very hard, you know, at people at the moment. They really are struggling, you know, and, you know, we keep on touching into social anxiety and how much people are really struggling. But that's the same with couples. You know, people who used to go out with their friends all the time are literally haven't seen them in a year and a half, and suddenly to go out, what are we going to talk about?
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah. It is very strange. It definitely is, and like I find it myself, and like, and I've been lucky enough to be able to walk away through the pandemic. But you know, you're readjusting, getting back into that old life, and it's strange. It is strange, and some parts of it feel great, and other parts feel kind of, I don't know, you know, a little bit.
But you get out of a pattern of anything. Like, I mean, we're not talking about this. This is 18 months going on. This is 18 months that people, that's a long, long time, you know. I look at, you know, my nephew the other day went to Mahon Point, and he's two now. So when this pandemic started, he was a baby, so he never saw Mahon Point. So he didn't even know what an escalator was.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, all the things that we take for granted that people have just literally stopped and didn't realise, you know what I mean? I've another nephew who's never been to a cinema before in his life. You know what I mean? You know, all these things that we, when we're going through our normal life, took for granted, have suddenly been taken away. Blocks of time, 18 months of our lives. And, you know, people who were into a certain routine of life, of going to the pub every Friday night, let's just say, you know, she goes to the pub on a Saturday night, all that was a routine that was gone for so long. And people now of actually going out and reconnecting and getting out, you know, they're feeling inside a social anxiety around of actually trying to participate in this, trying to get back into the natural flow of things.
In stuff that was normal 18 months ago.
Oh, completely. But it wasn't normal for 18 previous. That was normal for 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
this is just gone. Like, I mean, it really is. And, you know, as I was saying to someone the other day, like, around social anxiety, people who struggled with anxiety within themselves but forced themselves and were able to do it every Friday, suddenly it's gone. And suddenly the social anxiety that they didn't even know existed within them is there again. And, you know, you have that within a couple as well, like where, you know, they're hiding behind the couple and saying, oh, I don't want to go out, I don't want to leave you alone and things like that. So they're actually hiding behind the actual couple and saying that I don't want to actually leave you alone, where she's probably going, oh, will he ever get out? Will he just leave, you know? Or vice versa.
But I suppose finishing on a positive note, Shane, like all that stuff is short term with a little bit of communication and just, you know, taking that step and getting out there, really, isn't it?
Look, you know, finishing with, like, I mean, we started with couples. You know, I suppose the key message I want to get across to any couples out at the moment that are struggling with things at the moment is communication and honesty. Just talk about what's going on for you. Tell the other person what's going on for you. And if it feels a little bit worse and that there's things that you can't talk about and you're struggling, obviously go to therapy. Go talk to someone, because, you know, in my opinion, 4 or 5 sessions with a good therapist like myself, you know, you will actually get this sorted, because you'd be surprised how many within a room where they actually feel safe, where they can actually say whatever they want to each other and feel safe within there, that they won't be judged, and that somebody is actually there as kind of a referee.
Yeah.
You know, it actually, you'd be surprised. I've had a couple of therapy where they've had only maybe 1 or 2 sessions, and they've literally sorted it out within the 1 or 2 sessions. So, you know, it's not a lifetime commitment.
Yeah.
So, you know, just talk to each other.
Talk to each other, and that's it. Right, Shane, on that note, thank you very much indeed.
You're
for coming
Thanks,
in,
Harry.
And we'll talk to you again very shortly.